Our next speaker is Chris Conrad, and I'd like to say a couple of things about Chris. He reminds me of the old-fashioned newsman in that he vigilantly puts out the Oaksterdam News, which is a labor of love. It's the guy who's in the community, writing about the community, and incredible amount of zeal that goes into this publication. It was actually through Oaksterdam News, before I had ever met Chris, I was doing some research on dispensaries in California, and he had a complete listing of all of the dispensaries at that time. It changes pretty regularly as they get closed or shut down, whatnot. But it was very helpful, and between MapQuest and Chris's work, I was able to plot on a map where all of the dispensaries were in Los Angeles, and it wasn't until I had done that that I realized that there's a one-mile strip on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood that had over 50% of the dispensaries at that time, and it was because the local officials there are working with the activists to work out a regulatory regime of implementation of the medical cannabis laws in California. The other thing that Chris is known for is industrial hemp. He has been writing on that issue for a long, long time. And I'm very hopeful right now because there's a bill in the California legislature, I don't know the exact status, between Mark Leno on the Democrat side and Chuck DeVore on the Republican side, and it looks like there's a pretty good chance that we are going to have industrial hemp in California passed in this session. And if we do, we'll all need to say thanks to Chris, as well as many people who are at this conference, but he's certainly been driving this issue for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Conrad.
All right. Thanks, David. Thanks, everybody, for this panel and for hanging out with us today. I'm going to actually go PowerPoint on you. And theoretically, we've solved the issues here, although I know the first thing is that it's not.
Get around to that.
I think that the idea of rhetoric, you've been hearing some interesting stuff. And what he was talking about, the Leno bill on industrial hemp, which is passed by the Assembly and is in the Senate right now, they put a word in there that could have screwed up the whole bill, which is that they said they had to use indigenous seeds from California. And, of course, there's not really indigenous seed in California. So we got them to change that to say hemp seed that comes from within the state of California, which is quite different. And it could really affect the way the whole law goes on that regard. Anyway, we've been talking about a lot of different things. I want to talk to you about how you win a debate without knowing anything through the power of persuasion. And what that means is that you're familiar with substance, set, and setting. I'm going to use it in a little different format right now. The substance is the facts that you already know. The set is the audience that you're talking in, the setting in which you're doing it. The set is the set of facts that you're trying to get across, and the setting is the audience and the situation in which you're presenting this information. If facts were the answer, we would have won a long time. There would have been one edition of Drug War Facts, and it would have all ended. Apparently, that didn't happen. So what we need to do is to find a way of getting the communication out here, and the first thing is to come up with a three-point theme. That's when I started Business Alliance for Commerce and Hemp. The first thing I did was talk about separating medical marijuana from hemp and discussing each of them separately, never denigrating any of them. I don't say, well, hemp is important, the other ones aren't, or vice versa, but to say, like, each of them individually has merit and deserves to be legalized. And when you combine all three of them, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have done so by now. We take the medical marijuana issue. We talk about safe and effective and natural medicine. People like to think in threes, and it gives you a nice little way of handling that whole situation. And then the other, I'm going to just go through this rather than read everything that you're going to see up there. You have to read some of it yourself if you don't mind. The thing is, what are you trying to do? And the first list I have here is crutch, coax, or convince. Now, when you're debating someone, theoretically you want to win the debate, but you don't want to win the debate in such a way that you create sympathy for your opponent. So you have to, oftentimes you want to crush your opponent, but if you're talking to someone on a one-on-one, you don't want to crush that person at all. You want them to end up being convinced that you're right and coax them into taking your position. So you have to use a very different approach depending upon which of these you're going to go for. What I strive to do is to educate, to motivate, and to direct people, give them some new information, give them an energy to go out and do something, and send them where I want them to go. The last thing is repeat, 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 weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. It doesn't have to be true if you say it often enough, or at least that's what some people think. The next thing is to know your audience, and I think what we just heard a little while ago from Marcia is really telling. You know, this is your audience today. If someone takes a videotape of this and gives it to somebody else, what are they going to see? How's that audience going to react? You can't really be circuitous enough in your thinking to know every possibility. And there's going to be some people who you're not going to convince no matter what anyway. But you should be aware of at least who you're trying to reach and how it might be interpreted by someone who is not there. And you try to look for something that links people together. For example, who thinks marijuana should be legalized? See, we've got a common bond. Ain't that great? There are some other questions I could have asked, but I decided to stay away from that because someone may see this video in the future. Okay, so the thing is that people are motivated by a lot of things, but the real motive is their personal interest, what it is that makes this interesting to them, what it is that how it affects them directly and so forth. So when you're talking to a group, you're looking for that. If it's farmers, you talk about how hemp will save the economy. If it's parents, you're going to talk about how we can keep kids from getting involved with hard drugs. If you're talking to a government, you're probably going to talk about how expensive this drug war is as a failure and how we can bring in new generated revenues by changing these laws. But the other thing is, what are they ready to hear? Because I've been in a situation where I said something to somebody and had them say to me, well, I don't agree with that. And so I say, well, what do you think? And then they repeat basically what I said back to them because they didn't want to hear quite what I was saying. And actually, Marcia was in on that one of those situations, too, where we just gave the whole talk about how, you know, we're not talking for full legalization. And at the end, these people came and said, well, now I understand. You know, it's not like the right-winger is saying about prohibition. It's not like you guys are saying about full legalization. The answer is somewhere in the middle, which is what we had said. So then the other thing is the words and the symbols. Which, of course, these are very important things because not all audiences react the same, and certain symbols have certain power that can be for or against you, and if you're in the wrong group and you use it the wrong way, it's not going to happen. And, like, for example, I start off with, like, a very powerful symbol here, the American flag. Now, when I see the American flag, and when many people see the American flag, if you look at Fox TV, you see the American flag that's obviously designed to trigger a certain response in you. Now, that response can be different things. Salute the flag. Some people, like if you're Native American, you may not feel the same way about this flag. Or if you're other people in other areas, you may not. But a lot of Americans, they relate very positively to the flag. And so then you have to think about, is there another sublime level to this? Which, of course, it's a flag. But what do I know about this flag? This is basically a George Bush flag. Why do I say that? Made in China. The job was outsourced. Made out of plastic, nylon, from fossil fuels. So when I look at this flag, on the one hand, I see the blue of virtue and the red of the blood that was shed for it and the white of our, you know, righteousness. But on the other hand, I'm seeing exported jobs and fossil fuels. And so is it, what about this then? A hemp flag. It's the same symbol, but yet it carries a lot of other weight with it. This is a flag that's grown from the soil, relatively few pesticides, et cetera, good for the environment, and it carries all those symbolisms. And not only that, but this is the kind of flag that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington fought for the basic freedoms of this country under. This is the kind of flag, not the George Bush flag. This is the George Washington flag, and this is what this country is supposed to be about. I don't know who that is or how it got on the screen, but I do know about this. I did this book, Cannabis Yields and Dosage, and my first thought was I would make a little booklet that would be colorful and attract people's attention and sell copies to people who are interested in pot. So I hit a colorful color cover, etc. But what we found is, of course, we want to use it for other things too, educating. And so when I did the next edition, we were wondering, does that colorful color work against us? And so we decided to change the color to avoid that aspect of it. And so what we've done is we took these colors. Now, does anyone happen to recognize where these colors came from that we took? It's from the marijuana and medicine report by the National Academy of Science. So when people look at this, it looks like it's a companion book to the government's own book on it. And so we just take advantage of the things that are already out there, the way people are going to react automatically. And I have a few lists of things here, but this last line about George Lakoff, nurture versus paternalism, this is something that separates the right from the left in this country, and I really encourage you to read the book that he has there, because we have to be able to talk to people who are paternalistic. Remarks fit the environment, you know, like you talk differently at HempFest than you do with the PTA, I would hope, and you take a look at these two lists of words, the positives and the negatives, they come from marketing, from advertising. Now, when you're selling, you're interested in somebody going out and bidding your product, and so these are words that they spend a lot of time finding out, words that will influence people and persuade them, that carry more weight than the actual word itself. And so what I've done is I've given you a list of these words here, and as you see when we go into this next section here, you're going to see these words coming up a lot. But the thing that you want to bear in mind is if it's something you want people to agree with, you use the positive word. And if it's something you don't want them to disagree with, you use a negative word. And these, a lot of these come in – oh, wait a second. I'm going to go back to one thing, because you'll see here that the word deal is a problem word. And so we shouldn't talk about dealing with – issues dealing with marijuana, because you know the word deal and dealer have their own implications. Similarly with pushing for a change, it's got push has a different connotation for our movement than it does for others. And so these are a couple words that, you know, we have to talk about handling situations. We talk about having advancing an issue, things like that. Just kind of watch those little words that somebody's going to secretly in the back of my mind go, oh, I get it. There's a drug reference there. Use guided rhetorical questions. You know how to use a do you versus a don't you. The people automatically want to answer you the way that you signal them that they should answer. So you ask them a question in such a way. Well, I want to keep, you know, family safe, don't you? People are going to say yes. Their first impulse is to say yes. Without thinking, they're going to start saying yes. You attach negative terms to prohibition. I already mentioned that. Attach the positive terms to reform. And so I give just a few examples here. And I think the morality issue becomes an important one, that this is a moral issue. Now, when you talk about a moral crusade, that's different, though, because you know what happened to the Crusades? The Crusaders lost. So when you say we're on a moral crusade here, it's like we're trying very hard, but we're probably going to lose. You know, anybody who has a historical connection to the Crusades knows that the Crusades were not a huge success or anything like that. Now, then you have your opponent. So how do you deal with the person who's coming out against you? Well, one of the best things is to ridicule. For heaven's sake, that'll always work. That's why they like to make jokes from our point about us and use these words with double entendres and so forth. So, however, and as Marcia was mentioning, what they talk about us is they talk about we want to legalize drugs for everybody, right? Now, does anybody here who really wants to legalize drugs for everybody? Probably not. Our opponents are the ones who like to say that, but it has to be somebody. But our opponents will characterize it that way. And so a lot of times you have to then force them to say, well, what do you mean by legalize, for one thing, you know? But the other thing is that we're not in favor of ridicule, but that's the way that they take our issue, rephrase it, and send it back in a negative way for us. So we can do that with them. They're dealing in a failed, old policy, which you know doesn't work, and we want to try something new because people like new things. And one of my favorites is to say, you're making my case for me. Whatever they say, oh, yeah, but the kids are getting pot all over the place, and there's gangs shooting, and it's horrible. And then you say, you're making my point. We've got to change this thing. You know, because then you've taken their argument and you've just made it your argument. And another thing is just start by saying no, even if you agree with them. Like the second one, like I hear, they say the sky is blue. You say, no, the sky is blue. And in fact, it's a healthy blue. And then they're like, holy shit. And they don't even know how to respond because they thought they said the same thing. And then another one is, well, we can't afford to do that. And you say, well, we can't afford not to do that because our kids are too important to us. You know, so you take their statement and you just flip it right the heck back and hand it right back to them. And then here's the other thing that I've hit many a time. They say, oh, but there's this new study that shows blah, blah, blah. You know, it's usually a study I never heard of before, and I keep current on a lot of the studies. So the first thing you have to do is you say, well, I don't know the details. Why do you want to say that? Because you don't know the details, and people don't like details. Nobody wants to know the details. We don't like details. So you're saying, well, this thing has a lot of details. I already don't like it. And then the other more important thing is, though, that we've heard this kind of stuff before, and it's been proved wrong over and over again. I guarantee you this is going to turn out to be wrong, too. What am I talking about? I have no clue. Well, I just trashed the hell out of it. Okay, and then so the other thing, this next one is really good. And I don't buy it, and here's why. And the reason than that is because people don't like buying things. They don't want to buy stuff, so they're with you. I don't want to buy it either. And then here's why. Well, they want to know why. And so, you know, you got them a double spin around. You just turn their argument into something where you're flipping back. And then you have to directly face the words that they are saying and turn them around. They talk about a drug abuser. Well, that's got a lot of connotations. We talk about cannabis consumers. Nice, sophisticated, you know, hey, we all consume. What the heck? They call us drug legalizers. We say we just want an honest discussion. And that automatically keeps our opposition out because they don't know how to have an honest discussion. They'll talk about a dangerous drug, and we talk about a safer alternative. And you'll notice, again, a lot of these words are those marketing words I told you about. They say they want to be tough on crime. Okay, so we talk about how that corrupts our police because you don't go in there and say, well, cops are assholes, of course. That's not a way to win cops over, and it's not a way to win a lot of people over. A lot of people really respect cops. And personally, there's a lot of situations where I would like to have a cop be on my side or help me out as opposed to being mad at me because I'm bad-mouthing him. But police themselves are concerned about the corruption that's going on as a result of this. And so you want to talk about the corruption involved in that issue. They say it'll never happen. We say it's inevitable. It's just how soon. They say it's an unpopular idea. You just heard we're in the majority, right? So there you go. I'm not going to run through all of these, but one of the things that we hit here, this drug-free, they talk about, well, you know, and if they find out, you probably smoke pot, right? So, well, that gives you actually the edge because what do people want? They want direct first-hand experience. They want to buy from the factory direct store. They don't want to go to the guy in the middle. So there you are. You're the person who has that direct experience, and you don't want to insult them by calling them ignorant. So you say, well, that's a kind of a naive point of view where I can see how you might be misled or something like that. Find a nice way of saying it to him. You don't have this experience. I do because I've smoked marijuana and I know that. And also this question about waiting for the government to act. Now, the reason I chose this particular response is states do not need a permission slip. The reason for that is because when Bush was ready to invade Iraq, what did he say? He said, we don't need a permission slip from the UN, which means the UN is this big teacher and we're like, you know, we're like not being treated like kids. And so when Bush use his friggin' words right the hell back at him, well, that's why we don't need this administration to tell us anything, because we don't need any permission slips from a bunch of political hacks. A war on drugs becomes a war on family. A slippery slope is just a change of course. The gateway drug is a safer alternative than the other drugs out there. Pot's stronger now. Well, so is Starbucks coffee. And they talk about your father's pot. It's not like your father's pot. He said, yeah, it's like my father's hash. You know, it's not that it hasn't been around. So they say you want to get high, and that's when you say, no, this is serious. We're talking about lives being destroyed. When they tell you to get high line, that's the moment where you really have to buckle down and say, I am not kidding about this. This is something that's going to affect you, and you should get on board with us. Don't break the law, of course. Well, we don't want to change the laws anyway. The last one I want to stick on there is why add another problem. And then we say it's a solution. It's not a problem. Just totally negate it. Give them the word that says the opposite of what they said. Along comes a spin cycle. The first thing you want to do is to make sure people are ready. They feel like you're going to cram something down their throat when you start talking to them. You want to take that away from them and say, look, I'm not trying to cram this down your throat. But I think if we talk about this a little bit, you're going to start to see some of my points of view. Now, they've already, well, now they kind of owe me a favor. I'm not going to cram it down their throat. Well, then what can they do for me? Well, they can listen to what I had to say. And then, of course, then we work our way down there. If you're trying to, like, slowly trash somebody, again, it's different than if you're just trying to convince them. But I think it's very important when an individual says to you that they're really concerned about something, you don't just say, well, that's stupid. You have to say, that's a really serious concern. I understand why you think that way. And here's why, how I've dealt with that, when I considered that. I thought about that, too. And then another one that I'm just going to pop through a few of these things and let you ride along with it. Turn around their argument. So they're saying, well, marijuana is bad, 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 bad. You say, well, even if everything you said is about marijuana was true, which I don't think it is, but even if it was, it still doesn't justify somebody going to prison for it. Then we've got the question about that we all agree about children. What we disagree about is the approach, and my approach is better than yours. And then the other thing I think that you have to talk about is unchristian attitude that is by these so-called Christians. I think we have to point it out. This is unchristian. Read the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Jesus didn't say people should be in prison. He never said it. He said you should visit the prisoners and give them comfort. And then the other one is that fuzzy thinking that leads to drug hysteria, because they're going to say that you're fuzzy thinking because you think pot should be legalized or something like that. So then we have to watch that we don't scare off our own people. Like, for example, I say it doesn't take courage to stand up for what's right. There's nothing to be afraid of. Why would I say it takes courage? Because that's going to scare you away. I say, I'm glad you're so brave. Why that? Then you're thinking, why am I so brave? What am I worried? You know. So you just say the opposite. It shows strength to do what you're doing. We all want to be strong. We don't necessarily want to be courageous. and so then the comfortable presentation is dress appropriately. For example, I'm wearing a pink shirt because it's San Francisco, red, white, and blue tie because it's America, gray because I kind of want to fit in with the mainstream here, short hair in the front, ponytail in the back. You know, I kind of got the bases covered here. Keep your hands away from your face. You know, a lot of times people are not a very convincing guy. Doesn't convince anybody. People like to see the palms of your hands. They like to see when you're thinking about something, you look up to God. God, tell me the answer. Yeah, now I know the answer. Now they'll like that a little better than if you look down and like, devil, help me out, devil. Okay. Pitching the win-win. Remember, there's something in this for everybody. I'm not going to go down through this whole list, but basically you need to point out the benefits for everybody, not that we win and you lose, because people don't like that. Also looking for unexpected benefits, like, for example, for us with hemp, we didn't really realize that the hemp seed was going to be such a valuable resource ultimately. When we first started on it, we just talked about hemp seed is good too, and then we found out what was happening. But it's really good to ask the audience what it is they're looking for, and then to show them how your approach is going to give them what they're looking for. Everybody wants to win. Recruitment and action. You create the empathy. We're all in this together, of course. You create urgency. If you don't do something about it right now, then this situation is just going to continue to deteriorate, and you're going to find yourself in a worse position tomorrow than you do today. If we don't get enough signatures to put this on the ballot today, then we're going to have to live with this for another 2 years. You know, there has to be a reason for people's like, uh-oh, I better do something about it. And then the call to action, which is, I'm so proud to stand here for our values today and invite you all to come online at my website. I don't give you a name, of course. Please consider sending a donation and making a real solution. And you're going to be happy you did. You know why? Because people like to be happy. Thanks. Because people like to be thanked. And so then from here, we go forth and convince other people. So you start thinking, who is this audience? What kind of words, what kind of symbols is going to reach this particular group? You repeat your 3 points. Did you notice I just repeated my points about that? So I do it myself. And then you take advantage of the opportunities when they come up. And for example, this is my little pitch. Oaksterdam News, you know, we are not a traditional corporate news media. We're an advocacy press that wants to get your message out to people who are interested in reading your message. And so why didn't I get an article from any of you guys? We want to hear from you. Go to the online websites, look for talk radio, go for blogs, go anywhere you can get your words out there, get them out there, but sharpen those words before you do it and close with your strongest argument. And in this case, of course, this is America, so it's got to be good for America and God bless America. And it's good for you because you're the person who's got to go out and do something. Okay, and lastly, of course, join us, because together is the way that we make the difference. And so in conclusion, I just say, keep spreading the word. Look, listen, and learn. We learn from our allies, but we also learn from our enemies. If there's one thing you can learn from Karl Rove, is to watch everything that he says and everything that he does and turn it around to our advantage, because this guy is like the evil genius of our era. And also, don't be afraid to say things and make a mistake, because once you get a negative reaction to something you said, that's what it will take for you to go back and say, now, how could I have said that in a way that would have resonated with them? I love that word, Marcia. Okay, so thank you all. Glad to be here, and keep up the struggle.